Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji for enlightening on us Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrutam Session 6. Thank you, Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji. Take over the call.
Thank you so much, my Dandavat Pranams to everyone on the call. Please accept my humble obeisances. So today we are continuing to see from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today is Brihad Bhagavatamrita and it is session number 6. In our previous session, everyone can mute, it will be helpful. Thank you. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point where Narada was talking to Lord Shiva, glorifying him as being non-different from Vishnu. And hearing this, Lord Shiva, he closed his ears and he asked Narada not to talk any further. So then Narada said, Lord Shiva, calm down. You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy because the Lord always supports you in everything that you do. And in fact, the Lord becomes so dear to you that he even goes to the extent of accepting benedictions from you. So then Lord Shiva told Narada Muni, it is actually not that, I am so great that I am giving benedictions. Rather, the Lord is so compassionate and so merciful that even though I have committed so many offenses and dare to be so arrogant, he still never rejects me. He's like an ocean. He's so deep with compassion. So that is where we stopped in our previous class. We'll be continuing from there. The conversation of Narada and Lord Shiva and how Lord Shiva says about what happened with him, what are the mistakes rather that he sees in himself. So we'll start off again with prayers. Om Ajnanati Nirandrasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pratishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radha Nata Swami Nityanamane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pratishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before we get into today's session, I just wanted to mention that this session will have plenty of stories from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we may not be able to do those stories in detail, but since this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the nectar of the Bhagavatam, it will be loaded with stories from the Bhagavatam. But we will concentrate mainly on the essence of these stories because Lord Shiva is such a big topic, such a beautiful and such a big topic. So it takes some time for us to understand and appreciate the glories of Lord Shiva. So after Narada Muni, praised Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva said, actually, it is only the mercy of the Lord that he doesn't reject me. He's so compassionate to me and he allows me to be in a position where I am giving benedictions to him. So like that, Lord Shiva was talking and he became very completely absorbed in the glories of the Lord. And Narada Muni grasped his feet and asked him to sit down. And he began speaking to him. He said, my dear Lord Shiva, you're so dear to Achyuta. How do you think you can ever offend him? In what way have you offended him? Some people may think that there may be some offenses in Lord Shiva. But Lord Vishnu never sees any offenses in you. He never sees offenses in you. Now Narada begins to tell Lord Shiva how actually Lord Shiva never let down Lord Krishna in any of his activities. So Narada Muni said, dear Shiva, do you remember what happened with Bhanasura? Bhanasura was your devotee, but he was too proud of his strength. He had thousands of arms, and he used magic to arrest Aniruddha, who is the grandson of Lord Krishna, and he fought against Krishna. When you saw that Vana was about to die, to save his life, you personally offered prayers to Lord Krishna. Actually, in a fight with Vana, the Lord raised the Sudarshan Chakra to kill Vanasura. But Lord Shiva, at that time, he intervened. Though Vanasura had made so many offenses to Lord Krishna and to the Vaishnavas, because Krishna wanted to favor the request of Lord Shiva, he had one credit. Vanasura just had one credit of being Lord Shiva's sincere devotee. So Krishna gave Vanasura a four-armed form. Actually, what Krishna does in the Bhagavatam, we can read the story, that he severs all the other arms of Vanasura and he leaves him with four arms. So all the other arms, 1,000 minus 4, were all severed. And he gave him a form similar to the form of the Vaikunthavasi. So Krishna says in the Bhagavatam 10:63-49, he says, this demon who still has four arms left will be immune to all old age and death. He will serve as one of your principal attendants. Thus, he'll have nothing to fear on any account. So the Lord, because Banasura was so dear to Lord Shiva, the Lord took special care of Bana and made him a personal associate of Lord Shiva and gave him even four-armed form. And he became immune to any fear. So, immune to old age, immune to death, and he became free of fear from the hands of the Lord. So like that, Narada Muni, he was describing how actually Krishna feels, you know, that Shiva is definitely something very special and he gives him so much attention. Then Narada Muni, he began to give many more examples. He said, one more example, he said, Gargya. Gargya, when he performed severe austerities to please Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva gave only limited benedictions to Gargya with some loopholes. So there is a story of this Gargya. This is not the Garga Muni, rather it is the son of Garga Muni. He is called as Gargya Balaki. He was actually very proud of his knowledge, and when he was in the court of the Yadavas, there was actually a big fight. This story is described in the Garga Samhita. It also appears in Harivamsha Purana. So in these two places, the story appears, the story of Gargya Balaki. So once he had a very big fight with the Yadavas, and he was somewhat humiliated by the Yadavas. And so he performed very great penances to somehow or the other please Lord Shiva and beget a son who would defeat the Yadavas. So he was very keen on getting a son who would defeat the Yadavas. So later, this Gargya, what happened was, he had a Yavana wife. And he begot a son who's none other than Kalyavana. Remember the story of Kalyavana? He's the one who was finally burned down by Mochikunta. This also we read in the 10th canto. So this Gargya Balaki, he had a Yavana wife and he had a son who's none other than Kalyavana. So Kalyavana was the one who frightened the Yadavas. He couldn't destroy the Yadavas, but he stood up and he tried to fight against the Yadavas. So Lord Shiva kept a loophole there. He didn't give this Gargya a benediction that his son will actually destroy the Yadavas. He gave a benediction that his son will defeat or rather fight with the Yadavas, like that. So similarly in the Mahabharata, we see another incident where Jayadratha, he received a boon from Lord Shiva that he can only defeat the Pandavas just once on the battlefield, and that too except Arjuna. There also Lord Shiva kept a loophole. When Jayadratha prayed to Lord Shiva for benediction, that time Lord Shiva was very careful in the way he gave the boon. He just didn't blindly give the boon to Jayadratha, saying, oh, you can conquer everybody, you conquer Arjuna also. No. He said, that is very difficult. The kind of boon that you are asking is very difficult for me to satisfy. But I will make sure that I give you some boon. And that boon is, you can defeat the Pandavas once, but you will not be able to face Arjuna. Or you will not be able to kill him. So rather, there were some loopholes in the way Lord Shiva gave benedictions to many demons. Then there is also the story of Sudakshina. Who's Sudakshina? Sudakshina was actually the son of Kashi Raj. So this story appears again in the 10th canto, where we see the famous story of the imposter Paundraka. There is one chapter dedicated to him in Bhagavatam. Very, very interesting character. What did this imposter Paundraka do? He challenged Krishna that he is the original Vasudeva, and he asked Lord Krishna to give up all his weapons. So then, you know, a war was declared, and Paundraka, seeing that the Lord was preparing for a battle, he quickly he came out of the city to confront the Lord with his army. And his friend Kashi Raja also followed him. This is also described in the Bhagavatam. But his friend Kashi Raja also came with him, came with Paundraka as his rear guard. So he was basically accompanying Paundraka. So Lord Krishna, he annihilated the armies of Paundraka and Kashi Raja. And then after chastising Paundraka, the Lord actually beheaded both Kashi Raja and him with his Sudarshan disc. And of course, thereafter he returned back to Dwaraka. And because Paundraka had constantly meditated on the Supreme Lord, even dressing like him, acting like him, he gained liberation. He got Sarupya Mukti. So that was the fate of Paundraka. His friend Kashi Raja was also defeated by the Lord. So when Krishna beheaded Kashi Raja, the king's head flew to his city, and when his queens and sons and other relatives saw it, they began to lament. At that time, this Kashi Raj had a son. His name was Sudakshina. So this Sudakshina, he wanted to avenge his father's death. And just to avenge his father's death, what did he do? He began worshipping Lord Shiva. And his intention was destroying his father's killer. He wanted to kill Krishna. Yeah. So, how did Shiva handle this? So, gratified by Sudakshina's worship, actually Lord Shiva appeared in front of him. And he offered him a choice of benediction. And so Sudakshina asked for a means to kill the one who had killed his father. So Lord Shiva, he gave that boon, but he didn't give the boon directly. Rather, what he did was, he advised Sudakshina to go and worship the Dakshinagni fire by black magical rituals. So basically, when this Dakshinagni fire is worshipped by, you know, different black magic rituals, what happens is, this Dakshinagni fire is the thing that goes and it tries to kill the person towards whom it is directed to. But there is a clause. This Dakshinagni fire cannot be directed against someone who is favorable to Brahminical culture. It can be used against someone only who is unfavorable to Brahminical culture. Now, who is Krishna? Krishna is the most favorable to all the Brahmanas. In fact, he maintains the Brahminical culture. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. That is Krishna. He is the maintainer of the cows and he maintains Brahminical culture. The Brahmins are so dear to him. So Lord Shiva knew this. So he knew that if Sudakshina attempted to direct his power coming from the ritual of the Dakshinagni fire, actually it will work only against Sudakshina. Nothing will happen to Krishna. So like that, Lord Shiva, he again did another loophole in this benediction also. So we see in so many cases how Lord Shiva actually manipulated so that he gave the benediction because, you know, obviously this person, whoever the demon is, they're trying to please him. So he appeared, he gave benediction, but he made sure there is a loophole. Like these examples. So what happened was, the ritual was performed, this Dakshinagni fire, from the Dakshinagni fire, a fearsome demon came, and he appeared from the pit of the sacrificial fire, and actually, when he went towards Dwaraka, he was actually chased away by the Sudarshan Chakra. So the Sudarshan Chakra actually chased him away, and this Dakshinagni Agni came and burnt Kashi itself. So this is also described in the Bhagavatam. So like this, Shiva makes sure that he always has some loopholes. He doesn't want to really put Krishna in trouble. Okay? So this is the point Narada was saying. You're actually very special. You're telling that you have offended the Lord, you have made mistakes and all that. That is not true. You have consciously tried and tried not to make mistakes by keeping loopholes in all the benedictions that you have given. So that is the way Narada Muni glorifies Shiva, that Shiva gave his bones very carefully. Although it appeared that he was pleasing the demons, he was in fact only pleasing Krishna. Next we see the story of Chitraketu from Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Chitraketu, being a devotee of the Lord, laughed at Lord Shiva for having Parvati on his lap, Lord Shiva didn't get angry. Why he didn't get angry? Because Chitraketu was a devotee of the Lord. He had that mood. That is, Narada explained, this is your greatness, Lord Shiva. You're so great. And then Narada said, because you always desire to serve the Lord and hence become greater than Him. How does a devotee become greater than the Lord? In the sense that a devotee is greater than the Lord Himself because the devotee, as you know, everyone says that the devotee, Krishna is defeated by the love of the devotee. So a devotee becomes greater than Krishna Himself. So because of that, because you became such a dear devotee, actually you became greater than the Lord, and Krishna was so pleased with you that He gave you the authority and your wife, Goddess Durga, the authority to actually give liberation. Because Krishna was pleased with you. He kept you in such a great pedestal and He gave you the authority to give Him benedictions and give liberation. So you bestow mukti in His behalf. Krishna is pleased with you, so He is giving you all this authority. But you, what is your mood? You are thinking you are doing all this for the pleasure of Krishna. You are bestowing mukti also only on His behalf. So, just see, though you have such great power and opulence, and you are even better than Brahma, you are so renowned, but you act like a madman. You are dancing naked. Why? Why is that? Now, even Shiva dances, he just loses control of himself, and even when it's described, when his clothes fall off, he doesn't care, because he's not even aware. He doesn't care. Why? Because he's fixed in a trance. He's worshipping Vishnu. And Narada said, I saw it for myself today. No wonder you're so dear to Krishna. Then Narada is even saying, in fact, if one sees a pure devotee like you, immediately one's heart becomes completely affected, and just by seeing you, just by seeing the way you are, people can become devotees. So Narada is making actually a very good point here. Immediately one's heart becomes affected when one sees a pure devotee. When we see a very exalted devotee, we become affected by Krishna Prema. Now, if these expressions of Lord Shiva were actually exhibited by someone else, okay, if it was exhibited by someone else, it would have been unacceptable or even accepted as something very insane. But Lord Shiva's unusual behavior is because of his exceptional greatness. So we were recently listening to this class by Adigadadar Prabhu in our mid-morning sessions, where he was explaining about the unusual behavior of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So how one understands which are ecstatic symptoms and which is faking ecstasy, you know. There's a very fine line difference between really exhibiting ecstatic symptoms like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, or for example, Lord Shiva, how Narada Muni was saying Lord Shiva was accepting so many ecstatic symptoms. What is the difference between, how does one understand the difference between what is real ecstatic symptoms and what is faking ecstasy? For that, first of all, we need to be pure devotees and we need to have good sadhana. So Prabhu was explaining about this in detail in this class. So then we can understand which is real and which is fake. And also we can understand from the description in scripture. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of descriptions of ecstasy of Sriman Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu actually fainted in front of Lord Jagannath, there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms. He would chant the name of God in such a way, in so much ecstasy, that ecstatic manifestations and transformations would take place in his body. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It would just take place in his body. And no one had ever seen such ecstatic symptoms. from his eyes, their tears would flow. It would flow and flow and soak everything around him. It would look like the Ganges was flowing from his eyes. His hair would stand straight up on its end. His limbs would tremble. Sometimes his bone would become so utterly disjointed. Sometimes there were several inches of nothing but flesh between one half of the joint and the other. Sometimes he would just begin to make roaring sounds like thunder uncontrollably. Sometimes his body would go into transformations where people could not even recognize whether he was a human being or he was something else. So these were the symptoms of ecstasy which no one ever had seen before, since they saw Chaitanya, except when they actually saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These symptoms will manifest on the body of Lord Chaitanya, and when he heard the sweet name of the holy name, he would manifest such symptoms of ecstasy. And most of us, when we are trying to chant japa, the name is on our tongue, but our mind is going elsewhere towards the material world. So if one tries to imitate, like fainting on the stage, or trying to show some unique emotions, trying to imitate ecstasy, from Shastra we can understand that all that is nonsense. It's only a show. Real Ashtasatvika Vikara is experienced by devotees in the platform of Mahabhav. So Mahadev was in that platform of a pure devotee, and he was dancing like a madman. And a devotee like Narada, who understands this, could immediately understand the exalted position of Lord Shiva. Therefore, many serious aspirants of spiritual perfection, they have taken shelter of Lord Shiva to get this rare gift of Vishnu Bhakti, and therefore Lord Shiva is actually one of the original gurus of the Rudra Sampradaya. He heads a Sampradaya because he is such a great devotee. He has manifested such ecstatic symptoms. Then Narada, after glorifying Shiva like this, he began glorifying Goddess Parvati. He said with firm conviction that what can I talk of Parvati's mercy? So many of them have become pure devotees of the Lord just by her mercy. And a classic example is the case of Jana Sharma. So Jana Sharma's story we will hear in the later part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We'll see what happened with Jana Sharma. Recently, Karmodaki Mataji was also talking about Jana Sharma. So his story is described in detail in the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He was actually favored by Goddess Durga and he became a Krishna devotee. Now, even within our own devotee circles, we have seen many people have come to Krishna consciousness sometimes by the mercy of Lord Shiva or by the mercy of Goddess Parvati Devi. So Mother Parvati, she has a very, she's actually very intimate with Krishna in the sense, she's the sister of Krishna. She was born from the womb of Yashoda Devi. Krishna always regards Parvati as a sister. So she has the special affection and she knows to guide devotees towards Krishna. And that is something that actually satisfies her heart the most. That is most pleasing to her. Same thing with Lord Shiva. That is most pleasing to Lord Shiva. So Narada said, Shiva, you're always pleasing your consort Parvati. You know how you're always pleasing her? You hold festivals for her pleasure. Because she is such a great Vaishnavi, you make sure that there is always singing of Krishna's holy names and glories in your abode. This gives Parvati so much happiness. And she is so happily situated in the company of Lord Vishnu's devotees. She gets Vaishnava association and she becomes ecstatic. So like this, Narada went on and on and on. And he glorified Lord Shiva. He glorified Goddess Parvati. And as Lord Shiva was hearing all this glorification for himself, what happened to him? He became more and more and more ashamed of himself. His head was sinking. He was feeling so embarrassed as he was being glorified again and again for everything he did. Now, we discussed this in one of our previous sessions. The more humble we are, when we are praised, we actually feel like a total fool. Even if we have the slightest happiness, Sadhanath Maharaj just said, even if we have the slightest happiness of being praised for something, it means we have not really cultivated humility. Very, very strong statement. A long way to go, at least for me, I'm sure. But still, this is something we can think about, you know, what real humility is. Lord Shiva, we can see how actually Lord Shiva was really, really humble. Lord Shiva was feeling so embarrassed. He was feeling so ashamed of himself. And he, in fact, began to feel that maybe Narada is making fun of him. He started feeling like that. He was so convinced that he is the most fallen. Now look at the situation where Lord Shiva felt embarrassed. He was embarrassed at the glorification. Okay, that is what made him really embarrassed. And remember the Mohini Murti pastime? So this pastime is described in detail in 8th canto, how Lord Shiva chased after Mohini Murti. Lord Shiva actually desired to see the form of Mohini, by which the Lord bewildered the demons, and you know, he made sure that they didn't get the nectar. So the Lord took a very beautiful form of Mohini Murti, and seeing the beautiful form of Mohini, all the demons got bewildered, and Krishna, you know, kind of he made sure that the nectar was given to the demigods. Okay, now after this pastime was over, Lord Shiva, he also wanted to see that form. He missed seeing that form. So he also wanted to see that form. And he went and approached the Lord and he asked the Lord, saying that he really wanted to see the form of Mohini Murti with which he bewildered the demons. So at that time, Krishna was like, are you really sure you want to see this form? And Lord Shiva was very sure. He wanted to see the form. So the Lord took the form of Mohini Murti and Lord Shiva was actually completely bewildered. When he saw this very gorgeous, beautiful form of Mohini, he got so captivated and he ran behind her, chasing her in spite of having Goddess Bhavani, Goddess Parvati by his side. His dear consort was there by his side. He left her and he was running like a madman chasing after Mohini Murti. And in fact, Mohini Murti was very, very clever. What did she do? She took a route where great devotees of Lord Shiva, these great, great sages, they were intensely performing meditation and dhyana, trying to please the dear master, Lord Shiva. So there were a lot of ashrams of these sages, and Mohini Murti decided to take that particular route to run across these ashrams where these great saints were meditating. And they were seeing this most attractive woman as running without proper clothes, and they felt so embarrassed, and they put their heads down. Being great renunciants, they saw, you know, oh my God, Lord Shiva is going to be upset if we get distracted. We have to please our master. And they, you know, put their heads down, they close their eyes, they put their heads down in shame, thinking, no, we have to please our dear Lord Shiva. We cannot let our senses get agitated. So while they were doing this, who came chasing after Mohini Murti? It was their dear master, the greatest of all yogis, the greatest of all the beings who has controlled his senses, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was chasing after Mohini Murti like mad. Actually, to look at, when we look at this, you know, these devotees, these sages, they were thinking that their master was the greatest. He has controlled all his senses. Even by chance, you know, we lose track of what we are doing. If we give up on our meditation and look at Mohini Murti, we'll be displeasing our master. And they are seeing their dear Lord is actually running after her. It's so embarrassing for Shiva, right? It's so embarrassing from material standards. Just imagine, his followers are looking at him and they are shocked seeing him run after a woman. So this is the most embarrassing thing for a person. But actually, when Lord Shiva, he came back to his senses, Srimad Bhagavatam explains what his reaction was. Now remember, he was embarrassed when Narada Muni was glorifying him. He hung his head down in shame and his head was sinking. He was feeling so miserable. But what was his reaction during the Mohini Murti pastime? Srimad Bhagavatam explains what his reaction was. Canto 8, chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 explains. Lord Shiva could understand his position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has unlimited potencies. Having reached this understanding, he was not at all surprised by the wonderful way Lord Vishnu had acted upon him. Seeing Lord Shiva unagitated and unashamed, Shiva was not agitated, he was not ashamed, he was happy, he was happy, he was so happy. Shiva was so happy to be conquered by the Lord because Lord Vishnu was pleased. Okay, Vishnu was pleased and he resumed his original form. So, why was he not a bit ashamed? Because he knew that he is subordinate to the Lord. And that was actually his position. And he was happy that he was in that position. He was bewildered by the energy of the Lord. He was happy to be bewildered by the energy of the Lord. So Shiva was very happy with that. And, with what had just happened, because he wanted the whole world to know his position, that he is subordinate to the Lord. He was not at all embarrassed at that time. He was telling the world, this is the energy of the Lord. The Lord can bewilder me. So he was so happy doing it. So we can see what real humility is. You know, if Shiva had the slightest pride or slightest thinking that I am a great personality, then he would have been so ashamed of himself. After all, he is being humiliated in front of all his followers, right? So see, what makes Shiva embarrassed? Praise makes Shiva embarrassed. But his actual situation when he was with Mohini Murthy never made him embarrassed. He felt very, very happy. So coming back to Bhagavatamrita, see here, in this situation, when Narada Muni was praising him, Shiva felt totally embarrassed. And he said, oh Narada, what is this? Why are you comparing me with Lord Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the worshipable Lord. And he is the Lord of all the prideless Vaishnavas. Okay, all the Vaishnavas are considered prideless. They don't have any pride. All that they want to do is serve the Lord. He is the Lord of all the prideless Vaishnavas. And who am I? I am the root cause of all false pride in the world. So the false ego is actually Shambhu. The false ego that pervades the entire universe is actually coming from Shambhu, Lord Shiva. This is described in Ramasamhita. Ramasamhita describes this aspect of Shambhu. He is actually the manifestation of false pride in the world. So Shiva said, you know what? You're comparing me with Lord Krishna. But Krishna is the master of all the prideless Vaishnavas. And who am I? I am the root cause of all false pride. And he says, I have so many false identities. I am thinking, I am the controller of this universe. I am the giver of knowledge. Oh, you want jnana? You worship Lord Shiva. I am thinking, I am giving mukti. I am giving liberation. I am giving Vishnu bhakti. I am obliged by the mode of ignorance to destroy this entire universe. Like that, I have so many identifications. When I think that I am the giver of Vishnu Bhakti, that is also a kind of false ego. You're saying that I am the head of a Vaishnava Sampradaya, and you're saying that I am such a great devotee and I'm able to give Bhakti to others. When I think that I am able to give Vishnu Bhakti to others, that is also a kind of a false ego. So Lord Shiva is saying that sometimes we become proud of our good qualities. When we serve Krishna also, we develop some good qualities that makes us proud. So that is false pride. It is interesting that sometimes people can even become proud of their humility. Again, Raghunath Maharaj, he explains this very beautifully. He says, humility is such a thing that when we behave in a humble way and think about ourselves to be very humble, we become proud of our humility. So we consider ourselves better than others, which is actually contrary to the principle of real humility. This is very complicated, actually. Humility is a complicated subject. So real humility is a natural state of consciousness, and it comes to purification of the heart. But as spiritual practitioners, we also practice the principles of humility while cultivating a genuine desire for real humility. So doing that, we can achieve the grace of the Lord, Guru, and all the advanced souls, and then we can actually realize what humility is. These are the words from the lecture of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. I thought it was very interesting because we can become proud of our humility also. So Lord Shiva is talking like that. He's saying, what is the use? You know, you're saying, oh, I'm so great, I can give Vishnu Bhakti. The minute I think I can give Vishnu Bhakti, that means I am becoming proud. So we know opposites attract each other in the field of magnetism. We talk about magnetic fields in science. We see that, you know, positive pole attracts negative pole and all that. So the negative pole of the magnet attracts the positive pole, and the positive pole of the magnet attracts the negative. So Krishna, God, is all attractive. He is the supreme great. If we think we are great, then what happens? We go farther and farther away from Krishna. Okay? Think greatness is positive pole. Krishna is the embodiment of all greatness. So if we begin to think that we are very great, we are taking the positive pole, then we are going to go farther and farther away from Krishna. Positive poles repel, right? So we go farther away from Krishna. If you think that we are insignificant and we are nothing, then we naturally get attracted to Krishna. So the subtlemost layers of material conditioning, that is covering the pure love of Krishna, is ahankar. That which covers the pure love of Krishna is actually ahankar. The false ego and all the other layers of material conditioning are built up. You know, all the other layers of material conditioning that is there in this world is actually built up on the false ego. The false ego is the basis. So on top of false ego, only all other material conditioning is built up in this material world. So you can imagine the power of that false ego. Here, Lord Shiva is telling Narada, I am that source of false ego, and I have so many identifications, how fallen I am. So we can see from this how humble Lord Shiva actually is. That's why he is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Lord Shiva said, I'm just so ashamed of myself. Actually, I have no mercy at all. If I had one drop of the Lord's mercy, why would the Lord fight with me? Then he took the Parijata flower away. Or when Aniruddha stole Usha during the Banasura episode. So actually in Srimad Bhagavatam, this point where Krishna goes and takes the Parijata flower from Indra Loka is described. It says that the demigod backed Indra in the fight. So it doesn't explicitly talk about Lord Shiva's role there, but it just says that the demigod backed up Indra in the fight with Krishna. So here Lord Shiva is saying that, actually, why would the Lord fight with me when he took the Parijata flower, or when Aniruddha stole Usha? That we have seen. The description of the fight between Lord Shiva and Krishna is very described in great detail during the Banasura episode. So Shiva explained, actually, when a master worships a servant, it's an embarrassment to the servant. It's great humiliation. Whenever Krishna prays to me for benedictions, actually I feel very embarrassed. It's a shame, you know, if a master prays to the servant, you know, for benedictions. I feel actually very embarrassed. What is this? I have to take this position of giving him boons? You know, Shiva feels very embarrassed. Then Lord Shiva said, Narada, beyond everything, why would the Lord order me to turn people away from him by concocting my own versions of scripture? Important point. Lord Shiva, he is a great devotee of the Lord, and he teaches about the Lord. He teaches pure devotional service. So he is the leader of a Vaishnava Sampradaya. And yet, the Lord gave him an order. What was the order? To teach Mayavadism. He is talking about himself coming as Shankaracharya to teach Mayavad. So Sanatan Goswami explaining this point from Brihat Sahasranama of Padma Purana, that Lord Shiva's teaching of atheism is done for the sake of protecting the confidentiality of devotional service. Because a pure devotee feels naturally dissatisfied with himself and claims to have no spiritual status, Lord Shiva was feeling like that. Though Lord Shiva was doing this because it was the order of the Lord, to please the Lord, he was actually, you know, he didn't like what he was doing, because he has to do a task where he's asking devotees to go against the Lord. I mean, go against the personal form of the Lord. So he said, "Why? If I really had mercy, why would the Lord choose me to actually go and teach Mayavad?" Then Lord Shiva said, I have so many disqualifications actually. I'm not really the recipient of the Lord's mercy. You're saying that I can avoid liberation, I can avoid mukti. But Vaishnavas hate that word. They don't want impersonal liberation. They just hate the idea that someone else can actually avoid true liberation. The Vaishnavas, I mean, the correct understanding actually is the understanding of the Vaishnavas, that even Lord Shiva is able to give liberation only because of the mercy of the Lord. So Shiva is saying, you know, I'm not pleasing the Lord in any way. I do all the wrong things. Even the Vaishnavas are not happy with me. So, you know, I don't know if I have any qualification or any bit of mercy of the Lord. So he said, my dear Narada, please don't think that I am the recipient of the Lord's mercy. But you know who is the real recipient of the Lord's mercy? It is the pure devotees in Vaikuntha. They are actually the recipients of the Lord's mercy. They are residing with the Lord. They are having beautiful form like the Lord. They are always in constant association with the Lord. They never move away from there. They are actually the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy. Now just think, Lord Shiva is making a suggestion despite the fact that Narada Muni is actually a Vaikunthavasi himself, right? Think about it. Yeah, Narada is a devotee in Vaikuntha in the sense that he is a devotee of Lord Narayan. So Lord Shiva is telling Narada Muni, don't you know? It's not me, it's actually the devotees in Vaikuntha. Then he begins to describe the qualifications of the Vaikunthavasi. So that we will do in our next session because it's time up. So the qualifications of the Vaikunthavasis he begins to describe after this, and then he doesn't ask Narada to go to Vaikuntha. Instead, he directs Narada elsewhere. So that is the content of our next session. So please forgive me if I made any mistakes. If there are any comments, questions, additions, or any realizations you want to share, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasin Mataji, very, very wonderful. You have explained. And one thing I'm a little confused about it. So, about the Parijata flowers, pastime, and you said about Usha, or maybe I heard.
No, there are two different pastimes. So one is the fight, during the Banasura pastime, Aniruddha and Usha, they actually, so they were in love, and then, Lord Krishna had to come, and there was a big fight between the army of Banasura and the army of the Yadavas. At that time, Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna, they faced each other, and there was a fight. Skanda appeared, a lot of them appeared on the side of Banasura. But the Parijata episode, when Krishna went to the heavenly planets, to Indralok, to get the Parijata tree, it is just mentioned in one line that the demigods backed up Indra during the fight. But the details is not given, or it doesn't specifically talk about Lord Shiva's role. But here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Lord Shiva is saying that he faced Krishna in the opposite side in the fight during the Parijata episode. But I couldn't find any reference for this or any details for this, how Shiva actually fought with Krishna during that time. So there's only one sentence about it, that's all.
I see, there's a... Because Banasura was a devotee of Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
So then he was... Banasura had asked protection.
Boon from
Shiva. So that's why to protect Banasura, he came.
Mm. That is very clear.
Parijata, Satyabhama. Wanted to... Because... when Krishna came from heavenly planet, Satyabhama was with him. Satyabhama has seen the Parijata tree and all the heavenly things and whatever is there. And so then when they were coming back, Indra gave one Parijata flower to Krishna. And Krishna brought it back and gave to Rukmini. So Satyabhama became envious of that. Krishna did not give Parijata flower to her, but gave Rukmini Devi. So then she said, well, I want to perform a vrata underneath the Parijata tree. So I don't want the Parijata flower, I want the whole Parijata tree. And so for that purpose, Krishna said, okay, I'll bring the Parijata tree. Like in some places, it also Krishna is also like an actor, you know, he's perfect actor. So he acted like a handsome husband. If you want the Parijata tree, I'll pick the tree for you and plant it in your palace garden. So, so that's why Krishna went to Swargaloka to get the Parijata tree. And he brings the Parijata, but he has to fight with Indra because Indra didn't want to give. So it's another whole story. So like that happened. So that's what I mean. I heard Parijata tree and Usha. Usha is Manasur's daughter. And
no, they are different stories, the only thing is we couldn't find the details of how Shiva fought during the Parijata episode. That is something I couldn't find. It's not described in Bhagavatam, but in the Banasura pastime, of course, everyone knows there's a detailed description of how Shiva appeared there and fought.
Lord Shiva didn't fight for the Parijata. Because Parvati wanted to do that vrata and it has to be performed underneath the Parijata tree. So that's why Lord Shiva asked for Parijata tree, but Indra refused, didn't give. So that is the difference.
But there was nothing between Krishna and Shiva there, right?
Yeah. It's for the Parijata is between Krishna and Indra, because Indra was fight in the Swargaloka when Krishna went to get the Parijata tree, there was a fight. But no fight with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, he created another Parijata tree for Parvati Devi to do the vrata. So there was no, he didn't fight Parvati. Lord Shiva didn't.
Nowhere it's mentioned that he really fought like in Bhagavatam or something. But here in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's actually one thing that Lord Shiva mentioned. That if I had a drop of the Lord's mercy, why would the Lord fight with me when he took away the Parijata flower? So that's what, you know, I couldn't find.
Oh, yeah.
No idea what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's with the Banasur. Because he was protecting Banasur, so that's when he fought. And Parijata, that was different for the Indra and Indra pastime, in fight with Indra. That's wonderful. Very nice. It's really, it is very wonderful. Thank you very much. Very, very wonderful.
Hare Krishna Priti Virasani Mataji.
Thank you so much for again being the wonderful storyteller that you are. That you transport us to a different time and a different place. So thank you. I have one comment and one question. My comment, I was just thinking about, as you were saying, Lord Shiva, as he was running after Mohini Murthy, and he was not even thinking about his, he did not take any offense, you know, he was just completely, it just reminded me of Narada Muni asks, Lord of Vaikuntha, how does this Maya work? And that whole pastime happens with Narada where he, suddenly he's got a wife and then he's got kids. It just reminded me, you got to be very careful. Don't be stoking the fire, you know what I mean? You got to be very, very careful, Be careful what you ask for because, just wonder, because if you think about it, it's this wondering, right? Srila Prabhupada says, we wondered, how would it be to be lording over the material world and that's it, we're here. So this is showing examples, right, of Narada, show me what is this Maya work of Shiva saying, well, let me show me this Mohini Murthy. It's like, don't go there.
Even Markandeya Rishi, right, like he wanted to see the devastation and the Lord showed his energy. Like, don't even
try. Yeah. So I was just thinking, you know, we have to be very, very, very careful what we ask for.
Careful.
And I think our security is saying, instead of asking for the Lord, I want this, I want that, just saying, you know what? Just keep me at your lotus feet, at the lotus feet of a pure devotee, and protect me, and everything else is good, okay? I'm good. Even if I ask for something, don't give it to me, because I'm obviously losing my mind, and I don't know what I'm talking about, you know?
So, anyway, as you were talking, I was reminded of one very sweet pastime which I want to share. About Murthy, and you said, don't even try, you don't even want to see this, you know, you were saying that. So as you were saying, I was reminded of this. So this is very, very sweet. I don't know if I'll be able to really say it the way it happened, but there is actually a class of Radhanath Swami Maharaj, which I was listening to yesterday. I don't remember which year, but it was about the Mohini Murti pastime of Lord Shiva. Basically, how Lord Shiva reacts to things, you know. He was expressing the beauty of Lord, I mean, the mindset of Lord Shiva. So, in that, it so happened, so this class was given in ISKCON Chowpatty, okay. And there, the previous day class was given by Chandramouli Maharaj. So Chandramouli Maharaj was explaining on this particular chapter from Canto 8 about Mohini Murti. I think it was Canto 8, Chapter 12 or something. I don't remember exactly. But he was explaining about Mohini Murti. And there was one boy in the audience who asked Chandramouli Maharaj, Maharaj, if Mohini Murti is so beautiful and so captivating, why don't we have deities of Mohini Murti in the temple so that everyone can get attracted to Mohini Murti and they can make so many more devotees? Logical question, right? So
he asked this question
Chandramouli Maharaj. And Chandramouli Maharaj was so surprised with this question, and he said, are you really serious about this question? And this boy was like, yes, I am very serious. And then he said, maybe you should write to the GBC to have Mohini Murti deities to attract everyone to Krishna consciousness. And it was a joke, and, you know, that class ended. And then the next day class was Guru Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj's class, and while having some question-answer discussion about the position of Lord Shiva, you know, how Shiva is very difficult to understand. Again, this pastime of Mohini Murti being bewildered by, the pastime of Lord Shiva being bewildered by Mohini Murti came up. So at that time, Radhanath Maharaj was referring to this question about, the question of from this person that maybe we should have Mohini Murti deities. But then Radhanath Maharaj was explaining about the consequences of having Mohini Murti deity. So he was like, when Shiva wanted to see the form of Mohini Murti, Mohini Murti asked Lord Shiva, are you really sure you want to see this form? So, and then he showed the form, and Shiva went bewildered. So Radhanath Maharaj was explaining, he was like, are you really sure you want to have Mohini Murti deities? Because, a deity, what happens, if you have Mohini Murti deities, is because, you know, our idea is that we don't want to have deities, people to take, advantage, not advantage. He used a different word, actually. He was explaining, he was giving the answer to this question. He was, take advantage of a deity. Rather, we want people to go and serve the deity. We don't want people to be distracted and develop lusty desires. like how the demons, actually, this form was taken to bewilder the demons, right? And later, of course, in Shiva's case, it was slightly different. The Lord did it to, show him something else. I mean, he showed his yoga maya potency, and he covered and he expressed the glories of Lord Shiva. So anyhow, the idea is to bewilder. So we don't want deities to actually, people to take, advantage of the deity or have develop lusty desires towards the deity. We want deities to bless them and, the devotees to become servants of the deities. So that is our mood. And, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we want to give pleasure to Krishna, not take pleasure from him. So I was just reminded of that. It was hilarious. I mean, the way the conversation went and the way Maharaj was talking about it, I was laughing like anything. It was beautiful, Mataji. And the answer, Mataji, was fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vijayalakshmi.
Just wanted to share that.
Thank you. The other question I had was, I thought when you were reading the praise of Lord Shiva, that you had said that Goddess Durga can also award liberation. So,
yeah.
Is that all?
That's what it says. Okay. Both Shiva and Parvati together can award in mukti to the devotees in personal liberation by the mercy of Krishna. That's what was said.
Okay.
Constantly. I mean, like in two places, it's mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that, like you said, that's like through, if somebody worships, with someone worships them purely, then they will lead them to Krishna. Basically, that's what the understanding is. Yes. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you very much.
And specifically in this verse, it also talks about Goddess Parvati being very compassionate. Sometimes she directs her devotees to the lotus feet of Krishna directly also. She gives that guidance that the devotee turns to Krishna Bhakti. So that is also mentioned here.
Thank you, Mataji.
Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Abhiti Vilasini Mataji, very nice, very beautiful class. Wonderful the way you described the pastimes and the stories. It was awesome. I had a question, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
As we understand, the essence of the stories that we have been mentioning is to appreciate the humility of Lord Shiva, how humble and he was, despite the position that he was in. And even when Narad was describing to him how Krishna is so dear to you, he has done this and that. But despite that, as you mentioned, the mood of his was that he was ashamed, or rather he couldn't. That was the mood that he was having, right? Now, this obviously goes to show that the signal that he is definitely the param uttam adhikari kind of thing, like a devotee, right? Now, and you also mentioned about the fact that Shiva and Parvati together, if one worships them, then they can get liberation. Mm. Now, somehow I'm trying to put two and two together, and this is going in my mind, and this I had questioned before also, had asked, but I was told that Shiva is not a pure devotee. Number two, the question is, in such a case, then when we are appreciating Brihat Samhita, Bhagavata, somehow the feeling is, more and more adoration for Lord Shiva comes by this point. And then one can get a feeling also that, okay, then, he's the purest of the pure devotees. And we have been told that we have to serve the pure devotees, right? Krishna says, don't serve me, but serve the pure devotees. So wouldn't we go in that path too, Mataji? I mean, how do I kind of clarify that?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Shiva is a pure devotee. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu is the purest of all devotees. But we don't, when we can worship Krishna, see, when you worship Shiva, when someone has some kind of attraction to Lord Shiva, understanding that he's the servant of Krishna, then there is some benefit. Okay? But what happens in the world is that we are not recommended to worship demigods as being lords or as being controllers. We worship Lord Shiva in the sense that he is like a guru. That's all. Okay? So we don't develop a love for Shiva in the sense that we develop love for Krishna, because it is different. We understand the position of Lord Shiva only to the extent, or we adore him to the extent, not that he's the supreme controller of, the supreme personality of Godhead. Rather, we appreciate his position as being a good Vaishnava, a great Vaishnava, the greatest of Vaishnavas. That's how we are seeing him. We are also seeing him as a Vaishnava. That is important. What happens is, in this world, if we begin to worship demigods just out of sentimental love, our worship is incomplete.
because we are getting distracted. Most of the cases in this world, we worship demigods for material benediction, for material benefits only. You know, it's very rare that you will see some... Actually, prema can be applied only to Krishna. In relation to Krishna, if one is able to see Shiva as a Vaishnava, then that is proper way of seeing Shiva. So that's why you can develop veneration, you can develop some kind of respect for Shiva, but we don't develop Shiva prema. That never happens. You cannot have Shiva prema. Prema is only for Krishna. Okay? So this is more like seeing him as an exalted Vaishnava, as a guru, or rather as a role model. Wow. This is how Lord Shiva is. This is his consciousness. That is how we are respecting him. So this Jagat Bhagavatamrita is appreciating Shiva from that aspect, and as we advance in Jagat Bhagavatamrita, we are going to see so many more devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Hanuman. We are going to see Uddhava. We are going to see the gopis. You know, how do we see the gopis? We don't develop love for the gopis and or prema for the gopis. Rather, we are seeing them as the best of the devotees, like that. So we can appreciate their great qualities and take inspiration from them. So the Brihad Bhagavatamrita will keep unfolding these different secrets about the essence, the you know, the actual mood of so many other devotees. When we read Prahlad's mood, actually next, that will be Prahlad will be next. We'll see how he is situated, and then he'll be so inspiring to us. But that doesn't result in Prahlad Prema, right? It's different. So like that. Did it somewhat answer you, Mataji?
Yeah, Mataji. And I have one more question, if that's okay, if the time
permits. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the other question is, in fact, this thing has been going in my mind in the morning also, and then you brought it up. So that's how I want to ask this question. This concept of humility, now when we apply it on a day-to-day basis, even in the spiritual things that we are doing in Krishna consciousness and all that, now that is, I see such a dangerous position that you are in when a person kind of appreciates you for some services that you're doing. Now, I feel initially, when we are talking in material terms, you know, you are craving for this kind of appreciation, right? But now what happens is, in now when we are into Krishna consciousness and somebody says, oh, you are doing such a nice service, such a this thing, and you kind of get admiration from one and many of people, then one kind of starts feeling that, you know what, this is really making, and I understand that, you know, this is making one person proud, and then that thing comes in my mind, you know, why did they are saying that to me? Because I don't want it to be heard. But because it is, mind is so bad that it starts selling and pampering your ego and saying, oh yes, you are doing such a beautiful service. You're doing so nice. And you know you want to get away from it. But, I mean, that's why I feel if one person criticizes, I mean, it is much better because that will bring you completely into a humble position. How do you tackle this kind of thing? I don't know if I'm able to make sense, but it's very, very obvious.
Yeah, you're right. So, and actually, Kirtana Mataji recently, she was giving a class and she was talking about this point. Actually, the people who criticize us are real well-wishers because they can cut out that pride that we have. And this false pride is so difficult to give up. It's so difficult to give up. A little bit of recognition, a little bit of appreciation, especially in Krishna consciousness. Somehow it feels that it's sitting on your head, especially, right? Like it just goes to your head and you become so, I don't know. And even she was telling in one of the classes recently, Ketira Mataji was mentioning that, you know, when we get appreciation for things we don't deserve, there is some, we are immediately put into a situation where, you know, maybe we are rather blamed for something. That we are not actually worthy of blame. Like, you know, supposing you are criticized by a Vaishnava for something you didn't do, like that. So that is how it works, you know. This was also very interesting to me that day when I heard this. She was quoting Prabhupada. And I was thinking, yeah, that is very true. Sometimes, you know, I'm blamed for things that I'm not even a part of. And then I think, oh, why do devotees do this? But then maybe I was appreciated for something I didn't deserve. Not maybe, 100%. Because 99.9999% of all the appreciation is something we don't deserve, right? So,
and yeah, also, we are not very strong to take up this thing. I mean, the people who are interested are very fine. I mean, but the ones who are like just beginning into it now, it's like such big pitfalls. that I feel the other devotees also should consider not to, you know, necessarily shower each other with these kind of things, because it's really kind of not really helping, Mataji. I feel, I don't know.
Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasini, can I share something to this?
Yeah, please.
It just reminded me of, and I can't remember, I think it was my Guru Maharaj was saying this, I think I asked this question, and he had said that that's why we immediately say it's always by the mercy of Guru and Krishna that this is happening, so that we've passed it up, we've passed this praise up, and that as we acknowledge it, it kind of makes us, you know, it's like how you, if you say something out loud, you kind of, it kind of sticks in your mind a little more, you, realization kind of. So that's why you just pass it up and say it's because, you know, we know, even though we don't, quote unquote, believe it completely, we still think it's us that's doing
it.
But at least if we at least acknowledge the fact that, you know, we only know that it's by the mercy of Krishna and the Guru that we're even able to do this, then that kind of takes a little bit of the sting out of the praise.
Yeah, very true. And also, once Amala Bhakta Maharaj was also telling this in his own life, he was mentioning about this. You know, we are told to, that immediately when we receive praise, you know, immediately we are supposed to say that it is by the mercy, or at least think in your mind that yes, this is because immediately offer. So Maharaj says that he goes and he offers it into Prabhupada. You know, like how you offer a flower at the time of worship, you're offering, right? Like that, he goes and as soon as he receives any praise, he goes and he offers it. He just goes in front of the deity and says, you know, it's actually you, it's your glories, it's the glories of Prabhupada, like that. So we can even, you know, like she was saying, the minute you say it out, or the minute you tell yourself, or the minute you go and tell it in front of that deity, that a burden of that ego actually goes out, because you really understand what it is.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paneshwari Mataji, as well.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thanks so much for the beautiful class and very nice pastimes and very nice question answer section, Mataji.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you, Vrinda.
Hare Krishna Mataji, what's your name?
Hi, Mataji, Dandavat.
Mataji, I just have one question and one comment, if you allow me. So, a comment, I'll just ask. Who is the Mataji who was asking this question on humility?
Palika Mataji.
Palika.
Right?
Yeah. So, I just want to have a comment on that, when she was saying that, you know, when we are being praised, like you all put up a very good point, like from the class and from what Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj said, that yes, you have to pass on. But at the same time, like she was saying that, you know, somewhere, you know, we think that we must be praised for getting something, but then pride comes over. But, and if we say, no, I don't deserve this, I really don't deserve this. So the point comes in that when we say, I don't deserve it, it's not that artificially we are saying that I don't deserve it. You know, artificially you cannot become so humble. Like when you say that, oh, I don't deserve this, it is all because of my guru. And inside, you know, we feel happy, oh, somebody praised me. So that is also not humility. You cannot fake humility, right? Instead, the thing is that rather accept that praise. Accept it there and then. And then, you know, mentally, like Paneshwari Mataji is saying, that offer it back to Srila Prabhupada or back to your Guru Maharaj. The example comes of how the Harinam Chintamani, you know, the example of Harinam Chintamani, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur to speak about, you know. And Haridas Thakur felt so humbled. He said, whatever I have this knowledge, it's because of you, Mahaprabhu. Now, how can I speak on something on glories of holy name? Then Mahaprabhu said, no, I request you, rather I order you that, you know, just go on, glorify the holy name. At that time, Haridas Thakur didn't argue that, I don't want this glorification. I'm just a servant of your servant. You know, that artificially humility, you know, it wasn't posed at that time. Rather, he accepted it. He accepted it that, yes, if you really want to hear the glories of holy name from my mouth, then please recite on my tongue. so that whatever glorification may come out because of you and through you. You know? So this is the way we have to, you know, literally portray ourselves, that yes, that time, accept it. You know, if somebody is saying, oh, you gave such a nice class, you should acknowledge it, right? You should acknowledge it, but then, you know, not with a pride or not with an artificial humility, but rather with sincerity, you know, pass it on to your spiritual master or guru or whatever. So this is what, you know, I was just trying to make a comment on it. And my question is that when you said about Narada Muni, Narada Muni told Lord Shiva about these, you know, different pastimes that you were sharing, that they all had a loophole. But then why Narada Muni told Lord Shiva that all the benedictions you gave were without any loopholes, though we see that every benediction was with a loophole? That's my question.
I didn't understand. What was the question?
Okay. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita only, actually, when you give class, I go through the book, you know, because that way I get more of it. So in that case, it is mentioned in verse, just a minute, in verse 24 of chapter 3, it says, when such enemies of the Vaishnavas as Gargya worshipped you by severe penances, the benedictions you gave them were not without loopholes. Why he said not so without loopholes?
So everything had a loophole, right? Like not without. So you made sure that there was a small loophole.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misread wrong. Yeah, so it's negative, negative. That's what it is. Not
negative,
without.
Negative, yeah. Not without.
Now makes sense. Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your ever beautiful classes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. And thank you for your association. And thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Kirtida Mataji. Wonderful addition.
Yeah, wonderful.
And I also request everybody, you know, I also request everyone, if, you know, whenever Preeti will ask me, Mataji, give classes, if you go on opening with your Srimad Bhagavatamrita and read it through, those special verses, and then hear commentaries on her, it's really helpful. You know, that's my experience. I just want to share it. In that way, we are reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita also, and, you know, hearing more conversation and more purpose to it by Preeti will ask me, Mataji. So thank you so much, Mataji, once again.
Thank you, Kirtidan Sundari Mataji. Very nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Very nice conversation. This is called Ishta Gosti.
So true. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for everything.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. So we'll end the call. Vansha Kulpataru respect Prasasindu Vyayivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindu Kija Srila Prabhupada Kija Shri Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Kija Srila Sanatan Goswami Kija. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to all the devotees.
Mataji.
Yeah, thanks.